Good morning. Well, another day here. On a personnel standpoint, yesterday, Bailey, Toribio, and Kendrick were able to do some things limited. They went through individuals. So that's a sign that they're making some progress, and hopefully they'll continue to progress, and eventually we'll get them back on the field and see where they are. Flowers and Brown, they were limited. They got involved in some team drills yesterday. So they're making progress as well, and we'll see how they do today. Wally did not practice yesterday, and I don't think he's going to go today either with that hamstring. So what we're doing is we're trying to get better and trying to get a finger on what Buffalo's doing so that we can go and play a good football game. And so today we're going to continue that preparation and go forward. So with that, I'll open it up.
Let me know, you list Corey Greenwood and Andy as your backup deep snappers.
Uh-huh.
I could be wrong, but I don't think I've ever seen them take snaps in practice, at least at camp. I don't have, maybe they do. My question is, in light of what we've seen in the league this first week, do you need to get a backup ready just in case?
Well, they do take snaps in practice, and they have worked at it. Yes, they do.
Who's best?
Andy right now.
Do we kind of take Thomas just kind of for granted? I mean, just what makes him such a...
He's good. Yeah. I mean, that's all he does. I mean, you know, and so he's good at it.
What's the secret to that?
Being able to put your head down between the legs and throw the ball backward. And if you can do that at a good level, you can make a good living in this league.
Well, what happened to Oakland the other night, did that maybe raise your eyebrows a little bit, that maybe we might need to just make sure, Andy?
Well, no, boy, you're going to have to help me. I don't know what happened with Oakland the other night.
Their deep snapper got hurt, had a concussion, and the backup threw two ground balls and got beat for a blocked punt.
All right, that's not very good then, you know. Now, we have been working with our backups. They have been taking snaps. Now, that doesn't mean that they will be excellent in the game, you know, but we have been working with them.
Kendrick described himself as nowhere near 100% yesterday, even though he took part in some activities. Would you pretty much consider him a long shot in the near future?
Well, I know that he's working to try to get better, and he's going to do everything he can to get better. And whenever he's ready, he'll be out there. And so, I mean, I'm not a doctor, and so I can't speculate about, you know, how close he is or how far he is or things like that. I know that he started range of motion, and he's doing better.
You're trying to practice to eliminate mistakes. How do you exactly go about that?
Well, you repeat the plays that you made mistakes on, particularly early in the week, and let them take a look at it to see if they have improved on that. And then you try to do the things that you think your opponent is going to do, you know, during the course of the game, and so that we can see those plays. And if we can execute against those plays correctly, then maybe on Sunday we can eliminate those mistakes as well.
Team seemed pretty loose and upbeat yesterday in the locker room when we were talking to them. What's the balance of your coach of wanting your team to, you know, not worry about the fact that they just played a game that wasn't up to standards, but being concerned that, you know, they have to straighten out mistakes?
Well, I think that they know and understand they have to straighten out mistakes. And, you know, as I was saying yesterday, that the further you get away from the last game and the closer the next one comes, then your focus begins to go toward the next game, because that is the most important game, the very next one. And so I think that that's what you see during the course of the week. I mean, you know, whether you win or lose, I think that happens, because you have to put the other game behind you. You know, like we talked about, we have to identify and correct the mistakes and try to get those right. But then you put the last game behind you so that you can put your focus on the coming game, so that, and I think that gives you the best chance to win the coming game.
Andy,
trying to get the quarterback on the ground for a lot of years in this league. What's the keys to having a game with good pressure on the passer?
Well, I think it takes a combination of everything. I think it takes the guys who are rushing, you know, whether that's generally four or five guys. Then you combine that with coverage. If you are on the receivers or closer to the receivers in coverage, you force the quarterback to make more accurate throws. If you can get the quarterback to get off of his spot and destroy the timing and the rhythm of the passing game, all of those things, you know, go into it. Now, ultimately, if you can get him on the ground or strip sack him, you know, that's what we all want and we're all trying to get. But it doesn't come easy. And there are, few rare individuals who have that ability to consistently, you know, get to the quarterback and get him on the ground.
Would you, percentage-wise, how much in your mind would be game planning scheme? How much would be just the individuals and get the quarterback on the ground?
Well, a lot of it has to do with what the individual brings to the table, because all those other coaches, they watch tape and they know who the pass rushers are, and they try to scheme to slow those guys down, you know. And so if you got a guy with a high motor, with really good ability, you know, he increases your chances of getting somebody on the ground.
Anything else?
No, it's not a big deal. Washington lost their deep snapper too, broke his arm. So there's a little epidemic going on.
Well, look, let's hope it stays to the east or south or wherever, and not come this way.